Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast for Shabbat Parashat Noach. Visit www.webyeshiva.org for more information on our fully interactive online yeshiva. This year, Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan falls out on Yom Shishi and Shabbat, on Friday and Shabbat, and so I've decided for today's podcast to briefly look at Mizmor Kuf Dalid. Chapter 104 of the Book of Tehillim, which is the Mizmor best known as Barchi Nafshi, right? Which is the Mizmor which we say on Rosh Chodesh. It is a pretty long Mizmor, 35 psukim. We're not going to read every single pasuk carefully. I just want to first briefly just get an overview of what is happening in the Mizmor. Generally speaking, the mechaber of this mizmor is describing creation, and he is looking out at the world in wonder and expressing the joy of seeing the beauty and the magnificence of what Hashem has created. And if you look at the psukim, one sees that there is definite references, allusions to the description of Briat HaOlam in Sefer Breshit, right? That which we read last week in Parashat Breshit. And again, we're not going to read every pasuk because it would just take us too much time, but I'm going to quickly give you an overview of what the psukim say. So for example, the first section tells us, starting with Pasuk Bet, well maybe I'll start with Aleph, just for the sake of starting off at least at the beginning of the Mizmor. Barchi nafshi et Hashem, Adonai Elohai, gadalta me'od, hod v'hadar lavashta. The Mechaber calls out to Hashem and says, Hashem, you are very great, you are clothed in majesty, right? Clearly referring to the creations of Hashem, which are that which clothe him in majesty. Then starting with Pasuk Bet, Ote or Kisalma, that Hashem puts on, wraps himself up in light like a garment. Note Shamayim Kayiriya, he hangs up the sky like a curtain. Right? So already here we have references to Briat HaOlam, the description of the creation of light, right? The first creation, is described here as Hashem wrapping himself up in a garment of light. There are midrashim which connect this to the putting on of a talit, right? And these psukim are said, this pasuk is said by some when they don a talit at the beginning of Tefillah. Noter shamayim kariya, you hang up the sky like a curtain, right? This is clearly the second day of creation where the rakia, the shamayim, was created. And then the mizmor goes on to describe the creation of the clouds and the ruach, the wind, right? These are all things connected to the shamayim, right? And they're described, these things are described as Hashem's servants, right? Or that things which serve Hashem. Hamikare b'mayim aliyotav hasam avim rechuvo, right? The clouds are like his chariot. Hamehalech al kanfei ruach. Osem alachav ruchot, right? The winds are like Hashem's angels, his servants, his messengers, mishartav esh lohet, right? Right. So that is describing very quickly the second day of creation. Moving on, yasad eretz al mechonea bal timot olam ve'ed tehom kelevush kisito al harim yamdu mayim. Right now we're moving on to the third day of creation, yom hashlishi, right? Hashem has established eretz, right? The yabasha, the land, in a way that it will not fall down. Bal timot olam va'ed. And then it describes the water as covering over the land, right? But then min ga'artcha yinusun, min kol ramcha yichavezun. All the water which was covering up the mountains, when you, at the sound of your voice, Hashem, right, the water would all hurry off into the direction where it was supposed to go. Ya'alu harim yardu b'ka'ot, right? The water would defy the laws of, quote, nature, and would go up mountains and down mountains to get to the place where you wanted it to go. Right? Gvul samta bal ya'avorun, bal yishuvun lechasot ha'aretz, right? And when, once you decided where the border was supposed to go, you set down a border, like all the Mefarshim say, this is the sand on the shore, and the border knows not to pass there, right? That is the border, and the border is not supposed to go over the gvul. Now, land and water are separated, right? Moving on to the next day of creation, or sorry, the second half of Yom HaShlishi. Yashku kol, we're in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yashku kol chayto sadai, yisperu praim tzma'am. Aleihem of Hashemai Mishkon, mi ben afaim itnu kol, mashke harim ma'aliotav, mi pri ma'asecha tispa ha'aretz. Matzmiach chatzir levehima, ve'esiv la'avodat ha'adam lehotzid lachem min ha'aretz. Right? The second half of the third day of creation is when all of the things sprout up, all the plants, all the trees, all the flowers, everything that grows on the land, that's when they are created, right? All of the things, they're described here in this Mizmor as that which will provide food for the animals, for the people, like that everything that Hashem creates later on in creation will have what to eat, right? And in terms of the people, right, people, nobody's been created yet. Animals haven't been created, people haven't been created yet, but Matzmiach chatzir levehima, right? It provides food for the animals. Ve'esev la'avodat ha'adam, lehotzid lechem min ha'aretz, ve'yayin yisamach levav enosh, lehatzil panim mishamen. Right? Not only have the food for the animals, but you have lechem, you have yayin, and you have shemen, right? The three, the dagan, tirosh, and nitzar, the three main crops, the produce that man creates, that man grows in the world later on. Pasuk Yutet begins Yom Rivi'i, Asa Yareach Lemoadim, Shemesh Yadam Mevo'o, right? The moon was created in order to set the Moadim, right? That we know how to break down time and set the Moadim, the holidays, the festivals. Shemesh Yadam Mevo'o, the Shemesh knows exactly where it's supposed to go, where the day starts, where the day begins, what path it is meant to take. Tashet choshech vayhi laila, ki tirmos kol chayto ya'er, ukfarim shogim letaref ulevakesh me'elochlam. Right? In the nighttime, the animals of prey all go out to hunt. They go out and ask Hashem for their food. Tizrach Hashem es ye'asefun, ve'el me'onotam yirbatsu. But when the sun rises up, they all go scurrying into their dens. Right? It's now their time to be inside. Yetze Adam lefoalo vilaavodato ade arev. Right, and now it's man's time to go out and to work. Right, to work the fields, to grow food, to make a living. Right, so the shemesh and the yireach here, just like on the Yom HaShlishi, the food is described in terms of that which is given to the animals and the people. Here too, the sun and the moon are that which set the times where animals go out to find food and where people go out to find food. Again, following in the order of creation, but with different emphasis. Right? Not exactly emphasizing or describing in detail the same things which are described, were emphasized in Bereshit, the beginning of Bereshit. Then, Pasuk, the next section, starting with Pasuk, Kafhei describes the great Yam, the sea, with all of the myriads of different types of animals that live therein. But there also it includes also mankind who are able to build boats to go into the water together with the Leviathan. And then it talks about a man and the mortality of man, that Hashem is the one who, when Hashem is with people, then they live, but if Hashem takes away their ruach, their breath of life, then they die. Tishalach ruchacha yivareyun utechadesh pnei adama, pasuk lamed. Right? If you send back the ruach, then they will live again. They will be created anew. Right? Utechadesh pnei adama, and the land will be, the world will be renewed. Right? And with that we see all of the different levels of creation. I know I went through this rather quickly. All different levels of creation. Generally speaking, keeping in this within the same order of Briat Olam as we see it in Sefer Bereshit, with different emphasis, right? And then the Mizmor ends. Ashir al Hashem b'chayai azimra l'Elohai be'odi, ye'erav alav sichi anochi asmach b'Hashem. Right? Seeing all of the creations of Hashem causes the Mechaber to rejoice. Yitamu chataim min ha'aretz urshaim odenam, v'achi nafshi et Hashem, hallelujah. Right, those who don't see the wonders of Hashem, who don't appreciate them as wonders of Hashem, they are the rishaim, but they will one day be gone min ha'aretz, from the land. V'achi nafshi et Hashem, hallelujah. But I, the mechaber says, on the other hand, my soul blesses Hashem. Right, the v'achi nafshi at the end of the mizmor, obviously echoing the v'achi nafshi et Hashem at the beginning of the mizmor. And so that, very quickly, very briefly, is an overview of the Mizmor, right? It's an echoing of Briat HaOlam, right? A person rejoicing, marveling in the creations of Hashem. And if we want to ask the obvious question of why do we say this on Rosh Chodesh, right, so the well-known answer, which, you know, everyone obviously will quickly first say, then I believe this is a true answer, right, is that the Mizmor mentions the moon, right? Among all of the many things that Hashem created in his world, all the marvels that Hashem created, you have the creation of the moon. Pasuk Yutet, Asay Yareach L'Moadim, right? That the moon was made by Hashem to set times, to set the holidays, right, so that we would be able to divide time properly. And that, you know, that's enough of a reason to say it on Rosh Chodesh. We don't need a further explanation. What I'd like to suggest, however, is that I think there is more to it. That while that certainly suffices as an answer, that if you understand the Mizmor a little bit more carefully, one sees that the connection to Rosh Chodesh isn't merely the mentioning of the moon or the creation of the moon, the appreciation of the moon, but has more to do with the nature of what Rosh Chodesh is, its meaning, and that's what I want to elaborate upon for the next few moments. What we're really seeing here in this Mizmor, in Mizmor Kuf Dalet, isn't merely a description of Briat Olam, and I've already said that it's not a carbon copy of what we see in the first chapter of Bereishit. It's rather a description of Briat Olam and an appreciation of Briat Olam, but of a very specific thing. Or I should say, within the various things that is being described here, there is one message that comes through amongst the others. Right? Clearly, the Mechaber of the Mizmor is merely appreciating the variety and the complexity and the beauty of what Hashem has created, but the sub theme which comes out throughout the entire Mizmor is an appreciation of the order of creation, by which I don't mean the order in which it was created, but the order which is created through creation. Right? When the Mechaber describes the creation of the earth, the creation of the earth is something which is unmovable. Yasad eretz al mechoneha bal timot olam va'ed. Right, Hashem created the world. It is not to be toppled. It will never be destroyed. When Hashem wants to separate the land from the water, or rather the water from the land, to uncover the land by telling the water to move. Right, min ga'artcha yinusun, min kol ra'amcha yichavezun. The water marches, so to speak, flows, but it moves like soldiers obeying the word of Hashem. Right, Hashem says this is where you are meant to be, and you know, at the snap of the fingers, so to speak, the water goes. Right, and there the water stays. Right, Hashem sits down a border, gvul samta balia avor. Right, never is the water to move from where it has been placed, balia shivun chasot haaretz, lest the water come back and recover the land, covering the land again. Hamishaleach mayanim pasuk yud benachalim ben harim halechu. Right, now if water goes anywhere, right, it goes in nechalim. Right, it goes between the mountains. The mountains are not going to be covered over again. Now the Nechalim know where they're supposed to be, only between the mountains. The creation on the third day of creation of also the food, the plants, that which grows in the world, right, is also described with a great admiration towards the idea that everything is in place, everything is the way that it's supposed to be. The animals have their food, the people have their food, right? Everybody has what they need, right? And when the Shemesh and the Yareach, when the sun and the moon are created, right? Why are they created? To set the Moadim, right? So that we can divide our time, so we know when things are supposed to be. The sun knows exactly where it's supposed to go. It will not stray from its path, right? But even more so, the sun and the moon tells the later creations what they have to do. People, human beings, they go out during the day to do their work, right? And then they go to sleep when the sun goes down. The animals, on the other hand, when the sun goes down, that's when they come out, right? So that everything has its place, everything has its time, everything moves smoothly according to a fixed schedule, the way things are supposed to be, right? In my mind, this reminds me of something of like the way that airports have to organize so that you have planes going when and where they're supposed to go, and nothing coincides, nothing collides, nothing crashes into anything else. Everything moves smoothly. Everything is where it's supposed to be. Another example, of course, when Hashem is describing the animals and their place, right? Each animal is described as having his own location. Pasuk Yudchet, Harim Hagvohim LaYe'elim, Sla'im Machseh LeShvanim, right? The Ye'elim go to the mountains, the rocks, the spaces between the rocks go to the Shvanim, right? Every animal, everything that Hashem has created has its particular location, its place. Everything has its cycle. Everything is supposed to happen according to the proper timing. Even towards the end of the Mizmor, the cycle of life and death is tightly held within the hand, as it were, of Hashem. This theme, of course, is extremely pertinent to Rosh Chodesh. Right? Beyond the fact that the moon, the creation of the moon, and even the appreciation of the moon is mentioned in this mizmor, is the symbolism. The entire mizmor basically talks about that which the moon does for us, right? What Rosh Chodesh essentially is all about. By dividing our year according to the cycle of the moon, we make sense of our year. We create order out of what could just be like endless time. We order our year through the symbolism, of course, right? I'm not going to go into all of the obvious, the well-known aspects of Rosh Chodesh, but the symbolism of the waxing and the waning of the moon, the cycle which the moon represents, where things change and yet, right, everything has its place, everything comes back, we know the order, we know how things are going to progress, right? This is all the significance of Rosh Chodesh, and that is what is basically being spoken about throughout this entire Mizmor. And of course, heading down towards the end of the Mizmor, which talks about the cycle of life and death, right, and Tzadikim versus Rishaim, which I didn't have too much of a time to, I didn't really go into, but look at the psukim at the end of the Mizmor, right? That goes into other aspects of Rosh Chodesh and the symbolism of Rosh Chodesh, right? Rosh Chodesh is a time of kapara, right? Look at the words of Musaf, right? Rosh Chodesh is something of a kind of a mini Rosh Hashanah, right? When in benching we say, right, v'zachreinu biyom Rosh Chodesh hazeh, just like we say on Rosh Hashanah, v'zachreinu biyom hazikaron hazeh. There's something me'ein Rosh Hashanah, or me'ein yamim hanoraim, in every Rosh Chodesh. It's like a mini Rosh Chodesh, right? Another time of kapara. Again, look at the Musaf Perah on that topic, right? Rosh Chodesh is the time where things can be renewed, where we can bring things back to the beginning, but again, all within an orderliness, a sense of understanding that things have its place and things have their cycles and things can be counted on in the chaos, which can be the world. I couldn't help noticing as I was reviewing this Mizmor to teach today for this podcast, how much of what I read here was reminiscent of Parshat Noach, which of course is this week's parasha. There isn't time in the context of this podcast to go into all the details of what I mean by that. But so I would leave that to you, a little extra work on your own for those who are interested. Of course, there are connections to between the creation and Parshat Noach, right? Parshat Noach, of course, being the story of the Mabul, of course, being the undoing of creation, the going back to Tohu Vavohu, the destruction of that which Hashem had created just a few prakim earlier. Everything that all the order that we see here in this Mizmor, the orderliness of creation that is being extolled here, that is missing from the story of the Mabul. That is what is undone in the story of the Mabul, right? If in our Mizmor, and I'll just mention one or two of the things that reminded me of Parshat Noach, if in our Mizmor the world is described as that which has, where everything has its place, where the water knows exactly where it's supposed to go, and it never goes beyond the seashore, the sand on the shore, and it only goes between the mountains, right? The description of the Mabul is the exact opposite, right? The floodgates are open, the skies open up, right? The mountains get covered over by water, right? Everything is in reverse. And it's interesting that when the Pasuk says that the water never goes beyond the border of where it's supposed to go, there's none of the Mefreshim that I looked at mention. But what about Noah? What about the Mabul? Because I think it's obvious, right, that they don't have to mention it, because what's being described here is what's supposed to be. And what happened in the days of Noah was anything but what was supposed to be. That was when the opposite of the situation of Pasuk Lamed Hei Yitzamu Chataim Min Ha'aretz Rasha'im Odeinam, right? It's when the world was so full of Chotim and Chataim that the world had to be destroyed, right? So that when the people descend into chaos, so the world does as well, and then Hashem, it has to destroy it and start anew, right? So the aspect of the cycle, of course, is there, and that's what is mentioned at the end of the Mizmor. Tishalach ruchacha yivareyun utechadesh pnei adama, right? Send your ruach, send your breath of wind to recreate, right? And the world will be renewed, right? The midrash. The Midrash notes the connection to Noach there, right? So I'm not the only one to have noticed the connection to Noach, right? There are other connections also. Again, I'll leave you to try to find them, that the Midrash picks up on as well. But the Midrash notices that yes, in the case of Noach, this was all undone, but then Hashem sets the cycle going again, and the world is renewed, right? We get back eventually to what is being described here. I thought it was interesting while I was tossing around these thoughts in my mind, but I remember even as a little kid, when I would read Parshat Noach, when I had learned Parshat Noach, that what's being described is total and utter chaos, right? Everything is tohu vavohu, right? That is what is being described in the Torah. The return to tohu vavohu, chaos is gone. The Mabul, the situation of the Mabul, the world is described as there's no night and day, there's no months, there's no years, right? After the Mabul, Hashem promises that will never happen again, right? Where light and day and cold and heat and seasons, all that's going to come back. But that was missing during the time of the Mabul, right? That is all gone. And yet, if you read through Parshat Noach, right, and you could do this in Shul this Shabbat, read through Parshat Noach, there is a constant giving of dates, right? On this month, on this day, right, this happened. The water went to this height, and then the water went down. Right, every stage of the Mabul, both the waters rising and the waters going down, are described according to dates. And I remember even as a little kid thinking that that was rather strange. Right, in the midst of all this chaos, right, I had this like comical image, like a comic strip almost of Noah, either like, ripping off calendar pages or marking on the wooden edges of his boat, marking off like days with a knife. Right, somehow in the midst of all the chaos, the structure of the calendar seems completely out of place. And I don't, I didn't formulate this thought as a kid, but I remember clearly thinking it back then. But now perhaps the thought is, again, somehow connected to here, right? That in the midst of that Mabul, it seems like that everything before has been undone. But somehow the structure of the months, of telling us the date throughout the whole story of the Mabul, is something of a glimmer of hope, right? Order will be restored, right? The waxing and the waning of the moon, right? the months, the year, all that will be restored eventually, right? As Hashem himself promises at the end of the story of the Mabul. And so Mizmor Kuftalid, right, which we glanced at today, in the end is appropriate not only because Rosh Chodesh is coming up on Shabbat, on Friday and Shabbat, but also because of Parashat Noach. And we can all hope together that the beginning of the rainy season, which began a few days ago, but in earnest begins with Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, together with the story of the flood, right, that the rains will come quickly, but not too much, and that the cycles and the everything coming when we need it, so that we can have what we need, the greatness of the creation of Hashem will indeed occur, as we see in Mizmor Kuftalid. Shabbat Shalom.